And verse number 37, a very familiar verse. We're going to read a few of those verses. But maybe I'll back up a little bit to the same chapter to verse 32. Jesus is talking to the Jews, the unbelieving Jews here. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose none, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. We have all sorts of evils introduced into Christianity today that wasn't around 58 years ago when I was first saved. You've got the entertainment syndrome that's in the churches today that was quite foreign 58 years ago. You've also got psychology entered into Christianity. There's more psychology taught. In fact, you can't graduate from a seminary, or as Mr. Rockwell says, a cemetery, without having a degree in psychology. And you can't counsel people as a clergyman without a degree in psychology. There's mysticism rising its ugly head among Christians. It comes from the monks of old who spent their time just out in outer space somewhere in the mysterious world. Then there's the rise of Calvinism. I understand that the great sale of books today is from Van of Truth Publishing, and they're Puritan books. The old Puritans that were a couple of hundred years back or more that were very strong in Calvinism. They taught Calvinism very strongly. And, of course, holiness, because a Calvinist, the only way they know they're saved is if the gospel is working in them. That's their assurance that they're saved. Their assurance isn't what saith the Lord. It's if they're elect, and God is working in them, and the perseverance of saints means that they do go on in the things of the Lord. If they don't, then it's quite evident they were not elect. Now, this is one of their favorite portions for that, especially verse number 36. All that the Father giveth me. Now, that's only used, that term, all that the Father giveth me, is only used in the Gospel of John. It's only used in one other place in the Bible, and that's in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. whereas prophetically speaks of Christ and the children that God hath given him. It's quoted again in Hebrews 2 and verse number 13. I and the children that God hath given me. But John writes much about this phrase, especially in John 17. Over and over he speaks about those that thou hast given me. And they take this verse in verse 37 to mean, all that the Father giveth me, as something that happened back before time ever began, back before the foundation of the world, where God chose a certain, foreknew and chose a certain amount of people to be saved, and the rest he didn't bother with for some reason, but he chose certain ones to be saved. They are called the elect of God, and they base it on, mostly on these verses, and especially on verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. And they take that word draw that actually could be translated drag, and they use that, a cruel word, to believe that God actually drags people to Christ. But it's also a word of drawing up a net out of water that's full of fish. And I doubt if there's anything very violent about that. It's used of Peter drawing his sword to smite the ear of the high priest servant, cut off his ear. And these are the verses that he used. Now I want to look at these verses, what time I have, and I'm going to do quite quick with it because of time's sake. Verse 37. Now this is a good verse. There's three parts to it. There's God's part, the sinner's part, and Christ's part. Now that's very simple. All that the Father giveth me, that's the Father's part, shall come to me. That's the sinner's part. And him that cometh to me, I will not nowise cast out. That's the Savior's part. So get that. Very simple, isn't it? The Father gives, the sinner comes, the Savior receives. That's about as simple as A, B, and C. We want to look at that a little bit later. In verse 39, you've got the will of the Father in relationship to the Son and those that he's given to him. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which thou hast given me I should lose none, but should raise it up again the last day. That's the will of the Father concerning the Son, regarding those that he's given to the Son, or those that are saved. Verse 40 is the will of the Father regarding the sinner. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up the third day. So you've got a three-part verse in verse 37, the Father, the sinner, and the Savior. And you've got the will of the Father regarding the Savior and those that he gives them in verse 39. You've got the will of the sinner that comes to Christ in verse 40. Now he turns from that in verse 41 back to the people he's speaking to. And notice he's speaking in verse 36 to unbelieving Jews. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So now he turns and speaks to them in verse 41. And he said, the Jews murmured, saying, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, well, this man, we know his father, we know his mother, we know his brother. What's he talking about? He came down from heaven. See, they didn't believe he was the Son of God. They didn't believe he was conceived of a virgin. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They were unbelievers. So you've got in verse 40, you've got believers. Verse 41 and 42 and 43, you've got unbelievers. So Jesus speaks in verse 44 about the unbelievers, about those Jews that are accusing him of saying he was the bread that came down from God above. And he says, you people can't come to me. You can't come to me except the Father draw you. And And if he draws you, I will receive you and you'll be raised up the last day. And he explains that in verse 45. But I want to go back in verse 37 again. All that the Father giveth me. Now they say this means before the world ever began, God gave some to the Father gave to the Son. Certain people elected them, and in time they were saved, and they were elected, as it were, and found out and brought to Christ. Now the problem with that is that all that the Father giveth me, that word giveth me, is in the present tense, not in the past tense. It's not all that the Father hath given me. Literally, it could read all that the Father is giving me. It was an ongoing thing. It was not a complete deal. It was not a finished thing. So there is the Father doing a work, not choosing them to be saved at any point in eternity or time, but he's working and he's giving, actively working, and he's giving people to the Son. And that, so the word giving is a present tense. It's an ongoing giving. Now, when you get in the next little phrase, shall come to me, that word shall means future. And the word come is in the active voice. It means all those that the Father is leading or giving or working toward giving me, those people are going to do something. They've either got to refuse to come or they've got to come. So that's in the active voice. The sinner is not dragged, as it were, to Christ. The sinner here, by an act of his own will, comes to Christ. But it still shall come. So it's not a finished deal yet. So the Father's working, and he's saving a people to make up a bride for his Son, that is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And as the Father is working, he's calling out to sinners, and he's working on them, and all the sinners that will respond to that call and come, Jesus says, those are the ones that I'll receive. It's not a finished deal until the sinner comes to Christ. And once the sinner comes to Christ, it's a finished deal. Now, when you look down in verse 39, that tense is in the past tense. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which that he hath given. That's in the past tense. That means that the sinner in verse 37 has come to Christ, he's been received by Christ, he's now saved, and he's called one that hath been given in the past tense. The minute that sinner responds and comes to Christ, the deal is finished. The deal is finished. Now, let's look at how the sinner comes to Christ in verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son. That word seeth means to view very attentively, to consider very carefully. It means that everyone that seeth the Son. Notice up in verse 36, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me, but you don't understand. You think I'm the child of Joseph and Mary. You think I'm you don't believe I came down from heaven. Verse 40 is in contrast to that. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, they understand who he is. They understand he's the bread that came down from heaven. They understand he's the one that if you eat of him, as it were, in verse 35, by coming to him, you'll never perish. If you believe on him, you'll never thirst. They understand that. They see that with their understanding. And everyone that seeth the Son, but it goes beyond that. You can understand that part, but you've got to believe on the Son. And that little word on is an act of the will of man. It means a little preposition. It means an action toward the object. And they understand that Christ is the Son of the living God. They believe He's the Savior of the world. They believe they're sinners. They understand that. But they do something about it. They believe, they trust on the Son of God who loved them and died for them. Now, he goes back to the Jews again. So, going down through that, he explains that a little further. In verse 44, he says, "No man can come to me." Now, he's talking this language to unsaved Jews that have seen him, have heard him, but they do not consider him as seriously, that he is the bread that came down from heaven. And he says, "None of you can come to me." That's the context of that word, "no man," "except the Father which hath sent me draw him." Now that word "draw" is literally to draw a bucket of water out of a well or draw a net out of a sea. It means, but it's a metaphor used of the Father leading sinners, the Father speaking to sinners. And the next verse makes that clear. The next verse says, "Because it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God." Who shall be taught of God? Sinners. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard me, hath heard and hath learned of the Father," those are the people that come to me. Now, how does God speak to people? He speaks through His Word. Some words of the Bible are so wonderful. Everybody's name is in the Bible because it's included that word, "whosoever." If God said Christ died for Harold Smith, I wouldn't know who He died for. I couldn't believe He died for me. You look on the internet for Harold Smith and you'll find pages after pages of Harold Smith. God has spoken. God doesn't speak to people. He has spoken. He uses His spoken word. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, "God has spoken unto us, hath spoken unto us in these last days by His Son." The Word of God is the voice of God speaking to sinners and to saints alike. And if God speaks to us, He's going to use the spoken word that's already been spoken. He's going to use that to speak to us. And when the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, by the way, God there is God the Father. The Spirit of God never calls Christ His Son. It's only the Father. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's God speaking. The problem is, people say, "Well, God's not speaking to me." That's not the problem with mankind. God is speaking, man's not listening. Man's not listening. God is speaking continually. God has spoken. He doesn't have to speak anew again. He has spoken. And faith isn't anything more than believing what God has said. If God says, "Whosoever will may come," then that's God giving sinners to Christ. And when that sinner comes, then the Savior receives. "All that the Father giveth me." How does He do it? They learn of the Father. How do you suppose Peter understood that Christ was the Son of the living God? Jesus explained it. "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto thee." Matthew chapter 16. So the Father draws the sinner. He leads the sinner to Christ. Now I want to show you a couple of verses. First, "All that the Father has given me," in this particular context, most certainly includes the 12 apostles. But you look in John 17, in the Gospel of John chapter 17. There seemed to be a problem in this area when John wrote quite late, about A.D. 90, and he writes much about this. His Gospel is the Gospel of the Evangelists. The word "believe" over and over, the purpose of him writing this, that they might believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that they might have life by believing in him. If you look in John chapter 17, you'll find that the Father gave somebody to Christ. He came, and Christ received him as one of his own, but he was lost. The will of the Father was that none of them should be lost, but this particular one was lost. In John 17 and verse 12, Jesus said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, that is, those that thou gavest me I have kept. But none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled." Now the son of perdition was Judas. He was lost. Now he was received. If you look back in John chapter 6 again, in the latter part of John chapter 6, John 6 and verse number 70. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" See, God gave Judas the 12. God worked on them all. God worked on them all to show them, and Peter was testifying to Judas when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Judas saw the Lord. He never believed in him, and consequently when he was come to Christ, Christ chose him, received him, but he was lost. Now look again in John 6 in the same portion, in verse 64. This is the reason why he was lost. "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." Come believing. Those that see the Son and believe on him, God says, Judas saw the Son. He did not believe. He did not believe. He was an unbeliever right from the beginning. And the Lord received him as one of the 12. Chosen him. Not chosen him to salvation. Chose him as an apostle. But he lost him. Not because the Father didn't give him. Not because the Son would not receive him. The reason he was lost is that he did not believe. He did not actually come to Christ. He saw the Son, but did not believe on him. Consequently, didn't have everlasting life. So, just a little bit of what the Calvinists would believe, some of their doctrine of people being chosen to be saved. So contrary to John 3:16 and the principles of God making man with a free will. It's God's will that none should perish. If God chose people to be saved, then his will is not being done unless he chooses everybody, every single child of Adam's race to be saved. And if his will is that all men should be saved and he elect people to save, he could have elected everybody to be saved. And that's not the case. Because man's will is involved. So all that the Father is working toward giving me, those are the people that will come to me. And when they do come to me, I'm going to receive them. The Father giving is not a finished work. The sinner coming to Christ must come believing, trusting. And the Savior receives. And that's the done deal, if we could use that word, the done deal of salvation is when the Father works through the Word of God, through the Spirit and Word of God, and the sinner comes and the Savior receives. That's the Savior. That's the done deal of salvation.